Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Ken Buckfire.
Well, Ken, of course, an investment banker with Miller Buckfire. And he has been somebody who has been right in the middle of the Detroit situation. One of the creditors negotiating with the city and a witness in the trial that ended yesterday with a decision to let Detroit proceed in bankruptcy.
Am I right in that it's to take Rhodes. The pensions down to 16 cents in the dollar is one estimate?
Well, that's where we can go with this, because we don't yet have detailed numbers from the city on what it wants to do. But Ken, you testified that the city's plan was fair because it would have affected the creditors and the pensioners the same, which was the advice the judge gave yesterday in declaring that you could cut pensions, but you had to do it fairly and equitably.
That's correct. Miller Buckfire, as you know, is the investment banker to the city of Detroit. We've been working with the city since January, and we have advised the city, and they've accepted our advice, that a claim is a claim. Whether it's a pension fund claim or a bond claim from a general obligation creditor, they're all the same and must be treated the same.
Now, that is perhaps the most important ruling that Judge Rhodes made yesterday, because it has implications for other cities, I would imagine.
I would agree with that. I think his interpretation of the law is the one that we expected and hoped he would make, which is simply the acknowledgement that a contractual claim is subject to federal law in the end, whether it has state protections or not. In the end, it's a contract.
And an unsecured creditor is an unsecured creditor. You can't put one ahead of another.
That is correct.
So, at this point, where does it leave Detroit? We are waiting, obviously, for Kevin Orr's, the emergency manager's plan. What can we expect, and when can we expect?
Well, the judge indicated in his ruling that he wants the city to file its plan of reorganization by March 1, 2014, which we will do. We have been in discussions with all of our creditors now for several months under mediation rules to try to understand and resolve their planned concerns. Now that the judge has ruled, we are indeed eligible for bankruptcy protection. We expect those negotiations to continue and indeed intensify. We're confident we'll be able to file a plan by the judge's deadline of March 1st.
There have been reports
that the red button there. Yeah, the red button. It says bankruptcy red is the color of that button.
There have been reports these mediations haven't been going particularly well. Is that because people were just waiting for the judge's ruling? Is it sort of like a hammer over their heads now, we got to get serious?
I think that in all of these negotiations, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. I think what we've seen to date is the beginning. People express their positions, and in fact, I have found these mediations extremely helpful in terms of understanding where people's real issues were. Now that the judge has ruled we're eligible, we'll move into the middle, where people will have to really get down to business and figure out what they're willing to compromise. And then, of course, there'll be an end, which will be around the time we file the plan.
There will be people that will lose here, and there will be, I assume, somewhat or very innocent victims, whether they're the employees or whatever, of Detroit. Who's actually representing them? And will they have an adjustment of tone or thinking after the ruling we saw yesterday?
Well, the creditors, of course, are well advised by well-known law firms and investment banks, as are the retirees of the city, which are being advised.
So the retirees of the city are advised by adults?
They are.
Okay.
And, of course, we, and together with Jones Day, are advising the emergency manager, and we represent the 700,000 citizens of Detroit. And one of the important things the judge indicated yesterday was that the citizens of Detroit also need to be at the table, which has not been the case in other municipal bankruptcies where the citizens and their interests have been ignored.
There are a number of issues we want to talk to you about that bear on this whole thing going forward, and also some of the precedents that may be set. Reducing retiree benefits, is it a clawback? Is it a reduction in future benefits? How does that sort of thing happen?
Well, it's important to distinguish between what you just mentioned, which is the potentially improper granting of investment returns to certain people who had these special accounts and to the implications of the bankruptcy for the defined benefits that people were promised but the funds do not have capacity to pay. So let's talk about the second category, which really is the issue that Judge Rhodes was mentioning yesterday. It is a fact that the pension funds of the city effectively have made $7 billion of promises to pay benefits, but only have assets of approximately $3 to $3.5 billion in which to pay them. How that deficiency came about, obviously, has been well reported. And now the question is, what can those retirees expect, given that there is still cash in the funds, which is something that's not been given enough attention? $3.5 billion of assets still remain in those funds, but again, the benefits that have been promised people are well in excess of the assets' capacity to pay. And that's going to be decided as part of the overall plan of reorganization.
The other another aspect of the reorganization plan is the possibility of selling assets. Is that definitely on the table? And if so, what would you be looking at? Speculation has been the water and sewer operations.
Well, as we disclosed in our original plan on June 14th of this year, the city has looked at all of its potential non-core, non-essential assets, which do include the water and sewer department, and is evaluating the possibility of selling or transferring those assets to generate value that would benefit not only the citizens of Detroit, but our creditors, including the pension funds. Those assets are still under review, and we are in active discussions.
I think you should sell a center fielder from the Detroit Tigers to the Boston Red Sox. That would be a good place to start.
Well, that'd be a good place to start. Well, there is a lot of question about what you're going to do with the Detroit Institute of Arts collection, and the judge stayed out of giving you specific advice, but seemed to suggest that would not be a good idea. Where is the city on that?
Well, it's a very difficult problem. The emergency manager has been very clear in comments on this point that the city has an obligation under the law to do what's in the best interest of creditors.
Right.
We have to do what the law tells us to do, and if an asset is deemed non-essential to city operations, he has no alternative but to consider how to maximize its value.
Who makes that decision whether it's essential or not?
That's a decision really made by the emergency manager after getting advice from his professionals. Yeah.
Very quickly, you've been doing this since time began. You've got a very measured perspective on us versus the emotion of the different parties Michael McKee has mentioned. Is this discussion transferable to other cities, or is this a unique discussion to Detroit, Michigan?
Detroit is an extreme example of what happens after decades of mismanagement. I think Detroit has every problem that's possible. It's almost like the 10 plagues. But as many other cities in America may not have all the sins that plagued Detroit, but they all have one or two of them. So, yes, it is transferable.
Fabulous. Kent Buckfire, thank you so much. With Miller Buckfire.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.